The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Further, 373 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed today. As you heard Eamon mention in the news headlines, this as the vaccine rollout continues apace. For more on this, I'm joined by the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid. Paul, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. It's good to talk to you. What is the latest on the vaccine rollout, the facts and figures? Where are we?
Good evening, Ciarán. And just before I answer your question, just want to commend you on the piece I listened in before the news with Ian Power and Ciarán, just on the issue of young mental health and the text line via 0808. That's something in HSE we're really proud to be involved in, because young mental health and mental health issues are really important, particularly what everybody's been through COVID. So well done. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, good.
Just specifically on the vaccination programme, very strong rollout right now as we're at today, 3.45 million total doses administered, 61% of the population, over 2.3 million now have received first dose, and 31% of the population, over 1.2 million now received their second dose. So very strong, almost two-thirds and one-third of the population either partially or fully vaccinated. So a good 3 weeks ahead of us in terms of supply lines and vaccinations ahead. And this week alone, the week we're in now, we'll have somewhere between 310 and 330,000 vaccines administered.
Yeah.
And similar for next week again. So strong momentum at the moment.
Yeah, and listen, those are huge figures, 330,000. And I'll admit I was one of those who doubted whether we would have the capacity to hit those numbers. And listen, it's a testament to everybody involved that we have hit them. They're likely to drop off as we get into July, is that right?
Yeah, I think the reality of what happens, first of all, those accelerated numbers that we're doing this week and next week are a function of Pfizer being in a position to bring back some of their supply lines, which were targeted towards quarter three, bringing back them into quarter two. As we go back into July, two things happen. Firstly, we have the two vaccine suppliers, which are the mRNA, Moderna and Pfizer. We won't be able to utilise any further AstraZeneca, except with the exception of what we're finishing out in the dose twos over the next few weeks, and indeed Janssen, because we're below the 50-year-olds, which are not recommended through National Immunisation Advisory Committee. So we're down, our supply lines then revert back to the Pfizer supply lines and Moderna supply lines. So next 3 weeks quite strong, and then July still quite strong, but drops back from the current levels that we're at the moment.
So that slows down the vaccine rollout somewhat. This as we open up the registration portal as well to those aged between 35 and 39. And I understand that as well will take a little bit longer to get through, will it, than other cohorts?
Yeah, well, I just want to reassure your listeners, it's not about slowing it down. These are in line with the forecast that we had for July, and of the understanding that we wouldn't be utilising the AstraZeneca or Janssen any further. So, but what it does, so as you know, today we've announced the opening of the portal on Sunday for the 35 to 39s. There's about 710,000 people in total in the 30 to 39s. I think it breaks out about 310,000 in the 35 to 39s and the remainder there. So what we are saying, we'll start to open the portal. Ideally, the way we've always run a state is keep a window of between 2 to 3 weeks where a person registers in the portal and gets their vaccination. So we'll assess as we move to that then when we open it up to the 30s to 34s. But we are saying to people, yes, it will take a piece of time because we are at a significant pace at the moment of dose ones. Mm. We have to administer dose twos as well in July. So it's kind of running both in parallel.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So it takes a certain amount of manpower to do the dose twos. In terms of dose twos and AstraZeneca.
Not so much just the manpower, it's purely just the supply.
The supply as well, yeah. But the AstraZeneca and dose two, there's people wondering, I suppose, when they're going to get their second dose, because obviously that change of advice from NIOC about when it can be administered. When are people likely to get it?
Yeah, so based on our concerns and the concerns around the Delta variant, we want to administer second doses now. Originally, that was to be done over a 9-week time frame. Mm. We're now going to do it over 5 weeks. So between now and the week commencing 19 July, we'll have administered second doses to 450,000 people who are waiting that second dose. People will hear from us. We will make contact through the normal process and text. We are putting in extra builds. We're putting in extra vaccination centres to ensure that we vaccinate the AstraZeneca dose tools along with our continued programme of rolling through the ages. So it's not that one has compromised the other. So people will hear from us. My big strong message to people is you do need your second vaccine dose, particularly specifically with AstraZeneca. Second dose gives you 92% effective against hospitalisation, protection against hospitalisation, against the Delta variant. So it's really important people, as we make contact with you, you know, come forward for a second vaccination. So they will hear from us shortly. We're working with the older age cohorts first, so 60-69s first of all, and then we'll be working out through the ages. But everybody will have had received it by that week commencing 19th of July.
All right. Okay. What are the latest figures when we're talking about vaccine figures in terms of ICU and patients with COVID in ICU?
Yeah, I mean, one of the really strong benefits, and I know everybody has a hunger for percentages and figures and vaccinations, and we're happy to share them. But when you stand back from it, the benefits of what we're seeing from the vaccination program are extremely strong. So specifically to your question, we now today have 54 positive inpatients in hospital in COVID patients and 80 in an ICU. Now, just think back to the dark days of January. Where we had 2,020 people in hospital and we 212 people in ICU. So what we are seeing are the benefits for the vaccination program, which was the right way, addressed the vulnerable groups first, reduced illness, reduced hospitalizations, reduced ICUs, and even if you look at the cases coming through at the moment, and we do have a concern with the Delta, but just if you look at case at the moment, 83% of the cases are below the age of 45. Only 6% of the cases are above the age of 55. So vaccines are working, and you know they're making an impact, not just working in terms of illness and hospitalization. They're also working in terms of increasing the kind of herd immunity as we go along, and they're also working because, thankfully, we're beginning to see society and the economy open and public mood is stronger.
In terms of getting vaccines and getting that second jab into people's arms as quick as we can because of concern for the variant, what is the latest on mixing and matching the different jabs? It's something people have talked about, that, you know, you may have had AstraZeneca for jab one, you could get Pfizer for jab two.
Well, specifically to that question, we don't have any medical guidance or direction from where we take it in the HSA, which is through the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, and then ultimately advice to government. And they have not advised on that. On the contrary, they've asked us and directed. So we continue with the current dose, you know, with first vaccine, you get your second vaccine type, and that's continued. I'm sure they will always assess that evidence, but I would not like to put a mixed message in that there may be a change or maybe something different.
Okay.
It's really important people come through now for a second, whatever the vaccine type is. And it is, as you said, accelerating to protect against a very real threat of the Delta variant, which is quite rampant in the UK. And we need to protect here now. That we do see growing numbers of it. It's up to about 180 cases today. So, you know, there's no doubt that will accelerate. So we want to get the greatest protection for people possible.
Okay, so if you've had that first AstraZeneca jab, don't be holding out for anything different. And you're likely to hear news on a second jab sooner rather than later, as you said, given the new five-week time frame. In terms of hospitals, we're talking about ICUs. Something else we've been talking about on the show over the last couple of days has been the access of partners of pregnant women into our maternity hospitals. Now, I know the HSE and the Department of Health and the Minister for Health and even the Taoiseach have been very clear that there should not be restrictions, onerous restrictions still on people. It appears that they still exist, though. And we've just got the text in today, for example. And this is a very poignant text to be reading out. But my wife had to go to the Coombe Hospital today after suffering a miscarriage. It was our first baby. I was refused entry and I'm sitting outside in my car now waiting for her. We're both devastated. What's going on?
Okay, and I am sorry to hear that case there.
Yeah.
If I can try break the issue very simply into two or three component parts, because there's a few things at play here. First of all, we did direct and give national guidance to the 19 maternity hospitals about four categories of partner visits that we wanted to see addressed. One was the 30-minute daily visit. The second was a partner-facilitated labour ward. third was partner facilitated at the anomaly scan, 20-week scan. And the fourth was that partners and parents should be facilitated in neonatal ICU. So they were the criteria that we sent out and directed hospitals to work towards. Today, as of lunchtime today, 16 of the 19 hospitals have currently complied fully with that. I've made contact with the three hospital groups who haven't. And, you know, there's some reasons and some rationale.
And what are the reasons? What do they say?
Some of it is particularly in terms of the rooms that they have and the, you know, mixed rooms that they may have and availability to put. But they are putting workarounds in place to facilitate that. But I think where, and even to your texter, what the issue is. So, you know, I've no doubt we will be much stronger and hospitals will be stronger with those criteria set out to you. I think where the issues have emerged, and you've just highlighted there, where emergency and unplanned visits are required for pregnant women and indeed for what you described there for partners. So they would be issues like, you know, emergency planning, emergency pregnant assessment units that people will come into, or a woman comes into emergency department, you know, and a pregnant woman comes into emergency department or need further assessment. Now, what we are doing in those cases, because I've listened and I've heard them strongly, we're discussing with our infection prevention and control teams and the clinical leads all across the maternity hospitals to see how can we further facilitate those emergency and unplanned visits, which are different than the criteria we would have set out to start. Now, I would just put one kind of caution in all of this. We still need to protect everybody in hospital. We still need to protect pregnant women. We still need to protect all of the public who attend our hospitals. And we are still, we're not in pre-COVID times, and I know it feels a lot better, and it should.
Yeah.
But we are still dealing with a really deadly virus.
In fairness, I think the people who are getting in touch accept that, and they understand the reality of it. But we've people getting in touch who are fully vaccinated, and their partner is fully vaccinated, and they're going in to be told the most dreadful news, like that person who's after texting in, the most dreadful news, and they're being told, no, you've got to sit out in the car park. At the same time, we're planning for the same vaccinated people to be told, you can flake off to the Canaries after the 19th of July, no hassle once you've got a vaccination, but you can't be there to hold your wife's hand after she's told her baby's no longer living.
And I fully understand the emotion of that, and I am acknowledging that. What I am saying is the four criteria that we set out, we have addressed. What is emerging are, you know, those emergency and unplanned needs, requirements. We are getting together our clinical leads. We are getting together our infection prevention control and seeing what further can be done. I'm merely putting in the caution that are a lot of younger people, and I gave you the cases there, 83% of our cases are below the age of 44. A lot of younger people still are unvaccinated, and it's still a risk, and our hospitals still have to be protected. So, you know, we want to address those issues which cause high stress and duress for partners and for the pregnant women. We just need to be upfront and say we do have to do it with a level of caution as well.
All right. Well, Paul Reid, the CEO of the HSE. Paul, thanks a million for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder. Stay with us. After the break, we're going to be asking whether our airports will ever be financially viable again.